One. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure you share this. Some of the algorithms out there aren't very friendly, particularly if you're of a conservative nature. So we're going to ask you to share. We have a lot of people to wake up. And wake up is the theme of what we're going to do. But first, I need to let you know we're brought to you by Noble Gold. The worst thing you could ever do is leave your retirement in the bank. Well, you want to know why? You want to know what you can do about it? You want to know how you can save your future? Let me send you a free information packet. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Put in your email address. We don't sell your data, and we'll send out you an electronic information package, and then you'll have access to calling Noble Gold. And I'll tell you, they'll never hard close you. Never, never, never. I've been a customer many times over for 7.5 years, been an advertiser for 8.5 years. They're the most reputable group I've ever worked with. DaveHodgesGold.com. FTC wants me to tell you there's no guarantees. We totally agree with giving that warning. However, that warning should hang over the doorway for every bank in America. And you better be looking into this because tough times are ahead. DaveHodgesGold.com. Our guest is Sam Anthony. And you've heard me talk about his venture. And actually, I could kind of call it our venture because I'm now involved. And it's about what's going to supplant Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and basically everything else. Oh, it's not that they won't exist, but they might be doing business by candlelight because this is a news concept that is beyond simulation. No one else is doing what Sam is doing. And I'll tell you, you listen to him talk about it for 30 seconds, you get it, and you understand why you got to be a part of it. And right now, you got a small window to become a part of it. Sam, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on to talk about this. I ran something about this superficially on my social media, and then I put it out on our podcast. And man, the response has been just overwhelming. People are dying for totally uncensored news down to the zip code level, stretching up to the national level. Let me give you a model I want you to comment on. Okay, you've got Fox News, for example, national. And then you have Fox News in a region, like maybe Maricopa County, for example. And that's their model, national, local. You go much deeper than that, and your organization's much more thorough and complete, and there's no censorship. So let me just kind of hand that off to you and let you run with it.
Sure. Well, Dave, thanks for inviting me here. And I have to tell you, I've been waiting for today to come, especially since you made that announcement, which I had no idea you were doing, right? Okay, I didn't know you
That's
were doing
true.
that. You said, I'm going to send something out on my newsletter. Next thing I'm like, where's all these people coming from? So it obviously was from you. So to answer your question, the way the world works today is you have the network TV stations, and this is obviously for television news. You have the network nationals, Fox, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, and then you have different markets and what they call DMAs, designated market area, where they have affiliates, right? And so, there's a Fox affiliate in your market, there's a CBS affiliate in your market, there's an NBC affiliate in your market. Same with mine. There are either 210 or 211. I always forget which one it is, but there's you. I saw it showed you the DMA map.
I
Remember,
saw
right?
that, yeah.
So yeah, so there's 200. Call it 10 or 11 of those. And all most of them, not all of them, but most of them are all independent. So you've heard of Scripps, you've heard of Sinclair Broadcasting, and what happened was back in the mid 80s, there was almost 500 independent news outlets, and what happened was is roll-ups occurred and they were acquired, and now you have six entities that control everything. And therein lies the problem, right? So, the Sinclair probably owns, I don't know how many, I'd have to look it up, but let's just say 30 or 40 markets. Everybody saw the Sinclair broadcasting with those 30 or 40 TV stations all saying the same thing at the same time. Because obviously it's called centralized news. So somebody said that from corporate and they're just reading off of a teleprompter. And so, you basically have one entity controlling everything. So at the end of the day, when we get into what we do, our product completely decentralizes the news business and democratizes who gets to tell it. That's the cool part.
Yeah, I mean, Betty Q Public can go to the school board meeting in Aurora, Colorado, and she can put something up that'll go specifically to that zip code. Am I right?
Yeah, or city or market, whatever it's relevant to, right? So all news is either city story, a county story, a market story, and then state, regional, or national. So we can distribute content by subject and geography.
Who determines how wide the article is going to be distributed, whether it's zip code or county or national?
Currently, we have three people that handle the content coming in now. When I say three, I'm one of them. I have another person that's in the middle of the night that handles them, and then I have my partner that handles them, which is on the West Coast. However, the way our system is set up is there, it's set up for market editors. Remember, I showed you I could make you a market editor. Okay, so what I envision is as we progress, you're going to have different markets controlled by different people. And those market editors are not there to approve a story based on whether they believe it or not. They're there to make sure it goes to a specific geography, but they can only control the geography they have. So they can't break something out of it. So I'll give you an example because this will probably fit in. Let's say there's a bomb that goes off in Phoenix, and the market editor, somebody, one of the local stringers or news reporters covers that story and writes the story or does video, whatever it is. That article is going to be front page news for the Maricopa County market, but that story needs to be national news. It is, right? So the market editor is going to send an alert to the national editor and say, here's a big breaking story, and that'll pop up in his feed. He could just override it and go dash.
Okay, I get it. So the person submitting the news doesn't need to worry about that. They're just a citizen journalist.
Yeah, well, you want the reason we have somebody look at the stories is not to tell you that they're valid. It's to make sure that they're going the right
The right
category and the
place. Yeah,
right
it makes
geography.
sense.
That's all it is.
Well, one of the things you walked me through on the back end was like listings at LinkedIn. A tremendous amount of unemployed people are on LinkedIn.
I
And
know.
they're looking for journalism opportunities. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, the downsizing of the legacy media has created a void, very similar to when YouTube kicked off God knows how many people for from their platform for telling the truth. It created a void. Rumble was there to fill that void. When it comes to the legacy media, you saw the number. I'm not making it up. I could show everybody again. 490,000 people on LinkedIn Navigator identify as freelance journalists. The reason, and it's not 100% of them, but most of them were part of the downsizing of the legacy media. And then there's students currently, which are in school right now in journalism school, that when they get out, where are they going to go? And I showed you the number there. It was 170,000 students on LinkedIn Navigator. And I always say, why are these kids on LinkedIn? I mean, it's a business website, but they've got profiles set up. You saw one of them that I showed you his LinkedIn page was the last one to sign up out of, where was he? By you?
Oh, in Surprise, Arizona, which is
Surprise,
Maricopa County.
Arizona, right? So we just picked up another news reporter. Now he's in his fourth year of journalism school, which is going to be ending. Who's going to hire him, Dave?
Nobody.
That's my point. So now I don't know if there's a central source to find out how many students are in journalism school, but I'm going to speculate there's got to be a half a million. I mean, any pushback on that? I have no idea, but there's got to be a lot. When these kids get out of school, where the hell are they going to go? And the point is that we're the only place. So there's the void we fill. And then from an investment standpoint, if you ever have a business model that fills a void, right, there's a demand, and those are always the best ones to find. So,
So what about these journalists that come in now? Is there the ability for them to make money?
yes. So here's how our model works. I take a journalist like the person from Surprise. Let's say that his focus was high school sports. He loves sports, loves covering sports stories. So he's gonna go out and cover whatever games he wants to in high school sports, in maybe the Maricopa County market area or maybe in one area. Doesn't matter. When he submits the article, there's an approval process. Once it gets approved, he gets email notification with a direct link to his article. So what he's gonna do is share that story on his social media pages to the people who follow him. When they click the link, it's going to take them to our site where they consume it, and we sell all the advertising and they get a percentage of the ad revenue. It's just that simple. So the more, right? So the bigger your audience is and the more people like your content, just like YouTube, the more money you make.
Yeah, I was gonna
The
say something like, yeah.
marketplace is the ultimate decision, just like YouTube.
No, that sounds exactly. It's a model that works. And how do you attract advertising?
Well, I mean, I have been selling ads for a long time on this, and I mean, last year I just did an audit. I think we did about 124,000. When I say we, I mean me. Okay, but there's no scale to that. So here's how we're going to attract the advertising, and I'm getting set up for this now. Do you remember when Google years ago used to market and give you a free ad to try out their product, and
Yeah,
Facebook did
exactly.
it,
Yeah.
and Twitter did it, and I, by the way, I have one in my, I kept the LinkedIn one. They gave me a $50 credit. Okay, I still have it. So I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. Here's how this is going to work. What we're going to do is market to the local businesses. Target your ad on the Your News Network. A portion of your ad revenue goes to the journalist who wrote the story, whose ad you appeared around. So you're supporting local journalism, whatever the message is. That advertiser is going to be able to log in. We'll give them a coupon for $50. So what they'll do is they'll log in, create an account, they'll put in their credit card information, but then they'll put in their promo code for the free $50. Once their ad campaign is almost complete, our system will automatically email it. It'll say, Dave, your account has $10 left. If you'd like to continue your ad, click here to add funds. So nobody's selling anybody anything. When it gets to 5%, it'll say, Dave, you've got $5 left. Would you like to if you'd like to continue your ad, click here to add funds. And then finally, when it's out of money, you say, Dave, your ad's been pulled. And if you'd like to continue advertising, click the link and add funds. That's it. So, here's the estimate. To reach 1 million people on the internet, it's going to cost roughly 10 grand. So you reach 1 million people with this message, business owners. I think it's safe to say, and this is just an assumption, which once we get to real numbers, that's when valuation goes up. 10,000, let's say 10,000 people go, yeah, screw it. This sounds pretty cool. I'll put up an ad. I get $50, $100. I'll do it for free. So you get 10,000 people that fill it out. What percentage are you going to keep? The answer is we don't know yet. So you have to give something. So an assumption would be maybe 500, right? And we're talking Joe's Pizza. He might be spending 25, 50, 100 bucks a month. Nothing, very little money. But the scale here is from an inventory standpoint, AZ Central has a website. The Miami Herald has a website. The Palm Beach, every local paper has a website. However many ads they could put up in their sports page, we could do in one zip code, Dave. So from an inventory standpoint, it's like having 70,000. Remember I showed you the back end where you could remove zip codes?
Yes.
Okay. So one spot in one zip code. Think of all the sections. You see what I mean?
You can
I can have 2
offer
million customers.
lower priced ads, but the increased volume will give you more profit than the networks.
Well, here's the thing, because the ads on the internet are already preset. If you want to reach a national audience, it's a penny for an impression, okay? But local ads, you get $100 plus. So, like, if somebody wants to buy a national ad, it's a penny. The way my system works is when somebody queries a page, it pulls the ads associated to that page. Well, there might be 500 ads, so you can't put 500 ads up. So what it'll does is it puts the highest bidder for that spot. It's always the local guys. So, the guy buying one zip code like Scottsdale, Arizona, it's huge in length, right? I mean, like you're not on one end of Scottsdale and drive it to the other end to go get a piece of pizza or to get an ice cream is my point. You could target your ad to one zip code. And even if you're paying $100 CPN or $200 CPM, what's your bill going to be? 10 or 20 bucks a month? For me, I'd rather get 10 or 20 cents for that spot than 1 cent, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
There's the model. So here's your difference. If you can put 10 ads around a story, when the page gets clicked, you make a dime at a penny. But if they're all hyper local ads and they're all 10 cents, when the page gets clicked, you make a dollar. So the money's not in the national. It's in the local. Make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Right. And that's the focus. I mean, sure, we'll bring on national ads, but they'll all be trumped by the hyperlocal guys.
So let's say that I write an article about voter fraud in Maricopa County, like that would never happen. And so you got Maricopa County zip codes, but it's also of national interest because it sways elections. So your people that assign stories would put it in Maricopa County zip codes, but also assign it to national.
Well, they would flag in that case if we were running at full scale and they thought that article really should also be a national approved story, they would flag the national editor to say, take a look at this and see if you want it national. So
I
your
see.
story would just get broader appeal. But from the advertiser standpoint, when somebody logs in, I know who lives in whatever zip code, right down to the zip code. So it pulls the ads assigned around that piece of content just to that zip code.
It's amazing. That's
Yes.
it's an amazing marketing system. It's almost self-perpetuating.
Completely.
Yeah. This is
Yeah.
wow. I didn't know it was this intricate in terms of ads, but it is absolutely amazing. I'd like you to share with me and the audience what we discussed this past week with regard to viewership, with regard to the major networks.
Okay. Yeah. So the I heard you talk about it. I was when we were having a conversation, I was telling you what the numbers were. So I'm gonna tell you what they were because you kind of you forgot some of the numbers. So I'm gonna tell you what they were.
Okay.
The Adweek came out with the television numbers, and the three that came to mind was the number one for audience viewership was Fox News. It was 3 million for the quarter, which was January, February, and
1 million a
March.
month. Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, you said 1 million, but it was 1 million a month.
Okay.
And then you had MSNBC, which was number two, with 1 million for the quarter, which was 333,000 a month if you broke it out monthly. And then CNN was 588,000, so make it 600,000. It's like a couple hundred thousand a month. But that was not the real, like, the big news. Remember, I always say there's still a demand for news, but it's just how people are consuming it that's changed. I have a kid, he's 30 years old. He doesn't have cable news. He doesn't have cable TV. Like, if you want to go over there and just watch a sitcom, you can't do it. You got to get on Netflix or Hulu or whatever he has. He doesn't even have it. So the younger generation consumes information differently. So the age demographic between 25 and 54 was the numbers they put up. Between all three networks was a total of 500,000 people. That's for all three for 3 months. And I even remember the numbers: 380,000 for Fox, 79,000 for CNN, and 53,000 for MSNBC.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so those three are like five something, 510 or something like that.
So wait,
Whatever. I
wait.
didn't.
You said 380 for Fox?
380,000 people in 3 months.
That's the whole quarter. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so fast forward. And, let's say, because it's obviously an older demographic that's watching cable news. Okay. So as those people dwindle off, the younger generation is getting news on TikTok. They're getting it on Instagram. They're getting it on any place but network TV. That's the point. That is a dinosaur. It's never gonna be around. I was on with Dr. Everett Piper a couple days ago, and off air, he told me that he writes a column for The Washington Times. And he said the editor there told him it's owned by the Moonies. The Moonies are billionaires, and the Moonies are funding the losses, which is huge. And he says the moment the Moonies pull the budget and they say, let it go, it's gone. He says every single newspaper out there is being funded by a billionaire.
How is this going to affect social media sites as mainstream media goes down because they're big on social media?
Well, what we do is we complement the social media sites because social media sites, they take stories from other news outlets.
Exactly.
So what's going to happen is, Dave, and this is what I keep saying, we still call them the mainstream media, but it's really not. You guys are really the mainstream media. What do we use mainstream media as this is the old way of doing things, but the new way has a much bigger audience. You realize that, right? I just gave you the numbers, okay? When you have Joe Rogan that's bigger than all three networks combined, Tucker Carlson bigger than all three networks combined, give me a break. I mean, some of the shows I've seen Megyn Kelly get over 1 million views on.
Wow.
That's my point. I mean, the whole thing's a house of cards. It's gonna implode. The only reason they're keeping it around now is to battle Trump. That's it. It's
It's amazing.
propaganda. That's all it is.
You know, I'm approaching the aggregate of all three networks too. When I include
That's
what I
my
do,
point.
I got TV, you know, podcast, radio, website, YouTube, and Rumble, and I'm pretty close to their aggregate.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm on some shows like Sean from SGT. Some of the shows I'm on with him are 200,000 people. 200,000, one show. Okay. So, I mean, that one show is bigger than CNN for the month. Think about it. Okay. That's the point. It's over. It's a dying, not to mention, you have any idea what the freaking overhead is to run a network TV station? I don't, but I can guarantee it's more than you sitting in that chair.
Yeah, but they keep repackaging the same excrement. I mean,
Well,
you
they
look
have
at
nothing
CNN,
else.
out with the old and in with the new, and it's the same, and they're still failing.
Yeah, well, I tell people it doesn't really matter, Dave, if they were telling the truth, they'd still be failing. It has nothing to do with lying. That just sped up the process. It has everything to do with how news and information is being consumed. And the only example I could give you is, Dave, when was the last time you sent a telegraph? You never did. Well, I don't know why, because somebody created a phone. I mean, there's always a product that replaces something else in the way people do business. That's why you don't get in a horse and buggy, or you get in a car. There's always a product that replaces something, and not for nothing. Remember Star Trek,
Yeah, I
how they used
do.
to beam people? Well, if you came up with a beaming technology to beam somebody from one place to the other, I guarantee you in 5 years, there wouldn't even be an airlines.
I agree with that. I remember when Dianne Feinstein was on the Senate floor, and I want to say this is probably not more than 15 years ago, and she wanted to license everyone who called themselves in the media or a journalist. And she was really targeting the alternative media because she couldn't control it. And there was actually a move in Congress to do this, but it failed. Do you remember that?
I actually remember something like that where they wanted to control the press. I do, but I don't remember the details of it.
You know, it reminds me too of like Codex Alimentarius, which was a North American and union agreement where big pharma would get to take over all natural health care. And it was called Codex Alimentarius. It's the same model. They're trying to do the same thing with the media. But I think the horse is out of the barn, so to speak. I don't think that they're going to be able, the establishment's going to be able to get control of what they're doing unless they control the DNS and the internet. Have you thought about that?
I have. I mean, that if you shut off the internet, you're shutting off everything. You're shutting it off to themselves too, if that's what you're thinking. You're not going to shut down, these mega sites without having massive damage. I mean, are you talking about shutting down one particular entity?
Yeah, they could selectively decide who gets DNS traffic.
Well, now you're talking communism.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But the FCC was moving in that direction until we had Donald J. Trump elected.
Yeah, I agree, except I don't see that happening again. I think at this stage of the game, as we move further down the road and as Trump starts putting together the stuff, like he gets through all the stuff with the tariffs and all the negotiations with these countries, which we all know every single one of them is going to eventually come to a conclusion, right? They have to. Otherwise, how are you going to make money? So they'll all be done. And he starts moving down the road and people start to feel the prosperity. When oil prices drop even further and people start having more money in their pockets, and he focuses on the federal income tax, because now we're making enough with the tariffs that we don't need the income tax. I think the Democratic Party's just cooked. I don't,
Well, along
I,
those lines, here's a
yeah.
story you'll never hear in the mainstream media. In 1885, Congress set up a commission, and they brought in business and they had government and so forth. And they said, "We've made all this money on tariffs. How are we going to spend it?" Can you imagine? And there was no income tax in that day either.
Yeah.
I see people don't know their history, and these people are complaining about the tariffs. I've been telling them. This is leverage. Don't listen to the mainstream media. They're not going to tariff everything across the board. It's leverage to bring people to their knees because they can't win a war of attrition with the United States economically. And people just give you the glassy-eyed look. Well, on Fox, they say, come on, please.
Hey, Dave, all I can tell you is if Joe Biden and his administration decided to renegotiate all these tariffs, the mainstream media would be telling you how great it was and how
Oh, I
brilliant he
agree.
was for doing that. Okay, that's the world we live in, and everybody's on to it. Okay, we're all over it. I mean, all of us are over the legacy media. I mean, all it does is aggravate you when you listen to these people. I'm really blown away that Trump even allows them in on the press conferences. If I was me, I would tell them, look, go watch TV and figure it out from there. Take my
Sam, there was
advice.
actually a court ruling on this because they tried to exclude one ABC reporter and she went to court and won her case.
Okay.
But you
Well,
know
then you
what?
just don't ever ask him any
If that got
questions.
appealed to the Supreme Court, it wouldn't hold because you don't have the right to go into the Oval Office. You don't have that inherent right. You need to be invited in.
Not to mention, you don't have to ask one of them a question. So mainstream media sits over there. Don't bother raising your hand because I'm not going to answer or ask you or let you ask me a question.
I'm waiting for that. I've been waiting for that. I hope it happens. You know,
You're
they're.
irrelevant. Nobody cares what you say anymore anyway. But I would be saying it right in the office. Nobody cares what you're going to report. Don't bother.
A couple of months ago, Caroline Leavitt talked about a podcaster's row. Has that actually become active?
I know they're there. I know they're there. So the answer has to be yes, because there's some people there that I know that are in there.
Okay.
Isn't Tim, what's his name? Tim, the little guy he's a podcaster. He's in there. There's
Timcast,
a
yeah.
Tim Cast. There's another guy I know from Chicago that's in there as well. So yeah, those guys are in there. I mean, but they have decent audiences. So
I need
this
to
is.
apply. You know, not bragging, but Listen Notes has me at a 3 million in the top 0.5%. So I need to apply. I just wonder, is it seasonal? Do you have a season ticket and you're there every day?
I
I'd
don't
be
know.
curious. But how fun would that be to be in there? You know, I'd be wanting to interview the ABC journalist and ask him how it feels to be on the Titanic.
Yeah, right. That's what you should be asking. As we start scaling this, like you saw, we had almost 700, content creators, news reporters. When that number starts to get to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, they'll give me one. Not me personally. They'll give the company one, and we could have people represent us there. Yeah, us too. Nobody has
Wow.
more news reporters than that. Think about that.
I think that's just fantastic. And this is why you're going to overtake all the other media because they can't compete down, they can't compete from the zip code to national. Hell, they can't do national now. They're all going broke. And let me, I don't have any idea what the advertising revenue is, but it's got to have shrunk significantly.
It has. The only thing keeping them afloat right now is the pharmaceutical ads, and if RFK Jr. pulls that, it's over.
Oh my, yes, because he is after that.
He is after that. Somebody said to me, well, it'll probably affect their bottom, not the news people, but they were saying that it's probably going to affect the bottom line of the pharmaceutical companies. I go, no, it's not.
No, it won't.
Pharmaceutical companies aren't going to lose a nickel. They already have all the doctors and all the reps that are selling. The reason that the pharmaceutical companies are buying advertising, because remember, once you make the pill, to produce it is like a fraction of a tenth of a cent, and they're
Right.
selling them for $29 a piece. The margins are astronomical. They make so much money off this stuff that what they do is they spend marketing dollars, which now means if one of these pills goes haywire and kills a bunch of people, they control the press to make sure they don't get the bad publicity. So the press, think about it, you're beholden to your advertisers.
It's damage control insurance, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is, damage
Yeah.
control insurance. In the event this pill kills a bunch of people, we already are paying all these people, and we'll say you better cover it a lot less, or we're not going to pay our bill. That's exactly what it is.
You know, Big Pharma's kind of done your model, if you think about it. When they walk in, you know, I've been sitting there, I'm waiting for my appointment, and these nicely dressed people walk in and get ahead of me to see the doctor, and I'm waiting for my appointment. And you know what they're selling? They're selling the newest drugs and so forth. And my gosh, that's the grassroots level. That's the zip code level. Okay. And when they control the advertising at the national level, they're using a very similar model to you, aren't they?
Completely. Yeah. Well, it's similar, they have all the grassroots local people going knocking on every single doctor's door, and they're the ones explaining how these products work. The doctors are then the salespeople for them, and then the money for marketing is really the damage control money to make sure that they don't get bad press. That's it. Yeah.
You did something in our pre-air discussion that I want to mention, and I'm not sure you grasp the entirety of the event. I just became privy to this morning before we talked that in Ireland they've had massive protests for 14 days. It's not just about tearing down that statue that was in the article and they were protecting the statue. It's in every city. They have massive amounts of people because parental rights have been stripped. The schools are kind of going haywire and far to the left, and the people have had it. And they are, I mean, it's the country right now where there's the most protests. They make what looks like going on in Ivy League schools to be chicken play. It's nothing here compared to there. And you pulled that out, just a random thing you were showing me about, here's a late a submission to our forums to publish. And that is a major story. I'm telling you, this is going to blow up in the next few days.
So let me tell your audience what we're talking about. There was an article waiting for approval by a gentleman by the name of Paul Bennett, who
Right.
lives in Ireland. He's a conservative in Ireland, and he's a journalist. He's an actual journalist. He sent when he filled out the application, it said like Dublin, Ireland. So I reached out to him via email. I said, Paul, we're US. So if you're going to do news, you really got to do, Ireland news, but for world news. He said, yeah, no problem. First of all, I can't get a job there, number one. Number two, he's a conservative because you saw the article, right? And so now I have boots on the ground in Ireland. How cool is that?
It's amazing. I'll tell you, you'll know you've won the total victory when you plant the Your News flag on Beijing soil.
Oh, and we'll get them too. We will definitely get them. They're going to have to log in with a VPN, but we could get them. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was communicating with somebody in China, and I think they had to use a VPN to get on our site. But we will get tons of them. I've got about 10 or 15 from Canada, nobody from Mexico, not that I can remember. But we have just think of all the PR firms and the nonprofits and all the different podcasters and all the people, the content creators. I mean, there's literally millions of them. What I didn't show you was, remember I showed you the United States, there were 490,000 freelancers.
Right.
Okay, if you go to the globe, there's over, it just says 2 million plus.
Yeah, this is totally going to transform. And it's reflective of an overall attitude. If you look at Czechoslovakia and Poland, their people wouldn't stand for the crap that's going on with the rest of the EU. Now we've got Italy involved in this. Okay. And now you've got Ireland saying, we're tired of your nonsense. We're not putting up with it. Populism, and this is really what I think you represent is populism at the grassroots level. Populism sweeping the planet right now. And I think you're hitting this at the right time. I'm going to predict this is going to go international very quickly. And we just saw the first salvo out of Ireland.
Yeah, so the plan here, just remember every digital property is all global, like Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, eBay, they're all global. So the legacy media is going to be gone. There's a 100% chance that happens. What'll replace it will be a product like mine. It'll be a hyperlocal news platform that's global, by zip code, with a social component where the public can interact and share in the narrative locally. A
Okay.
monetization model for content creators where they could share in the ad revenue after they post their work, and a self-service ad platform where somebody could log in and buy an ad to target to one zip code and everywhere in between. And what I just described to you, it's not like I'm doing something nobody else is. What I mean by that is Facebook has a monetization model, Rumble has a monetization model, X has a monetization model, YouTube has a monetization model. Nobody does it around news, and in particular, hyperlocal news. So the scale that we have is just think of Facebook where they geolocate, because everybody geolocates, but they could serve an ad to one zip code and everywhere in between. That's the scale with us. The only thing we did was package it around news, which is what nobody does. So what the beauty of this, Dave, is people used to tell me, well, they're probably going to want to shut you down. Well, the problem with that is 99% of the content we get is local news somewhere. It's events. When Easter was here, I must have had 400 or 500 Easter egg hunts, local municipalities that were submitting them across the United States. But we get all kinds of local content, and the content creators could actually provide the content that they enjoy writing about. You know, I talked to so many journalists that told me, you know, I like to write about, you know, fashion, and here I am writing for this business magazine, and I don't know the first thing about it because they have to take any job they can get. With us, if you like fashion, you could do it. And then what happens is all of our traffic comes from our contributors. That's what drives our audience. So, you know, the magic formula to any social site, and social by definition is public participation, is content equals readership. Once you've aggregated all the content, you've got all the readers. So our goal will be to take all the content that flows out of the US, aggregate it all under one umbrella, and create one uniform media, and everybody will give you their content freely. Everybody's looking
Wow.
for
This,
distribution and monetization.
see, I think you just brought ABC, NBC, and all these other networks into the fold with our program. Because here was going to be my next question. Would your platform handle radio shows, and would they handle TV shows?
Yes, because you're streaming it, right? Which means there's an embed code. So remember, when you sub have you submitted something to your account? I think you have, right? You know how you
Yes.
use the embed code?
Right.
So the content that's coming in is really just the embed code that's feeding from Rumble or YouTube. Same thing with Spotify. If you I'm sure you probably have a Spotify account, right? So for your audio. So I have
Yes.
some people that do like you. They have both radio, which, you know, a Spotify account, and they also have a Rumble account. And they put both embed codes in the article, which means if somebody wants to do just the video side, they could do it. If they want the audio side, they could do it.
That's right. Like this interview, I'll strip the video and we'll go to audio for podcast and radio. But on social media, like with YouTube and Rumble, I'll put it out with a full video. So you're absolutely right about that. So ABC, NBC, and the rest of these networks are in trouble too, aren't they?
They're none of them are going to survive. It's this is easy simply because the way people are consuming information has been changing, Dave. And now it's getting to a head, you know, where their audience is diminishing. When you have the average age of the cable news viewer 70 years old, somebody do the math. What's the average person live to, Dave?
No, I hear what you're saying.
I mean, it's
You know what's left on the menu
yeah.
with these others in decline, the movie industry. And that's already decentralized too. I mean, it used to be all Hollywood, New York, and now you're seeing all across the country they're doing films. And then you got Netflix and Amazon and Prime.
You're correct, David, but remember, you could still watch movies, but you have companies that are innovators like Netflix and Prime and Hulu that have their own distribution right into the home globally. You see what I mean? So the people still want to watch movies, but I don't have to go to a theater. So they have full distributions. All they have to do is market their product, like in the case of Prime or in the case of Netflix. And they get a subscription rate of whatever it costs, 10 or 15 bucks a month. And they have a million movies they can watch, and new movies are coming out every week. And they're producing the stuff. Did you ever think you'd see that happen?
No, I did not think I'd see that
Neither
happen.
did I. I'm like, Hollywood's going to be here forever. No, it's not. It's an antiquated product. There's always something that replaces something else. Hollywood is not going to survive because you can't
Yeah.
compete with somebody that has a billion in distribution. It's called Prime.
I've been looking at some of the reports from the Diddy trial. They got bigger problems than decentralization, I got to tell you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that whole entity is evolving. That's all I'm saying. It, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Prime are disruptors in the entertainment industry. They're doing the same thing with all their own distribution.
Well, I've noticed too, I think the networks are realizing the futility because now we're seeing NFL games on some of these specialty networks like Hulu and so forth. And
Prime,
if you
yes.
want to watch the Denver Broncos play on Thursday night, you got to get Hulu. And
Exactly.
yeah, and you are the ultimate decentralization now. See, I would be pooping bricks if I was these people and knew what you were doing, but how much do you think they really understand what you're doing?
They don't. They're focused on their own game.
That's
And
what I
at the
think.
yeah, and they, you know, whenever you get into these big massive corporations, I mean, to move the needle, to move, it's like a big ship, like an oil tanker, you know, and they turn the wheel and it turns 10 miles down the road, right? So They're not going anywhere. They're just trying to figure out how to ride it for what it's worth. But at the end of the day, they're not going to participate in new media. It's going to be all new people. And all I am is taking all the information and bringing it under one umbrella and putting it by category. So if it's a food and wine story, it goes in food and wine. If it's a travel story, it goes in travel. By the way, it's a newspaper business model. This model has been around 200 years. It works. What we are for the audience is the exact replication of the physical world minus all the print and distribution costs. And we put the power of the press in the hands of the people.
Yeah,
Remember.
you're also one other thing too, Sam. You're the town crier from the colonies.
Exactly. But the people can actually have a voice here. You know, Dave, is your background like broadcasting? No, right?
No, it's psychology, stats, and research, and I was a college basketball coach. I got into this because John McCain and his international cronies tried to steal the property of me and 300 of my neighbors without paying us for it. And we were in an 8-year legal battle, and all of my appearances on media to fight against this ended me being offered a radio show.
That's my point. It's the technology that exists today that allows you to be a broadcaster. But 30 years ago, that would have never happened
We'd have lost our property.
unless you were on terrestrial radio or TV. Okay. What we've done is we've created a technology where everybody can become a local news reporter if they so choose, right? So if you're somebody that goes to the city council meetings or the school board meetings, you're proactive and you know everything that's happening. And you're standing up for your community, why can't you go there with a pen and paper or with some kind of microphone and take all the notes you need, come home, write a story, and share it with the community? It's not rocket science.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's a good encapsulation. But I'm going to ask you something that I guarantee someone in my audience is going to think of. And I'm asking it almost facetiously. If I were Disney, I'd be saying, Sam, what are we going to do to get you to stop or where we can take you over and take care of this? And someone in your position might be inclined to say, I want to be paid one more dollar than Elon Musk makes in a year. Okay. Do people have to worry about the buyout going forward? That's my
All
question.
right. So I'm 60 years old. I have two grandkids. I don't want them growing up in some world that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. The money piece, any entrepreneur, the byproduct, if you're successful, is money, but it's not the driving force here. The driving force here is I want to make sure that this country is going to have a free press because, you know, the local newspaper, Dave, has always been the backbone of a free society. It's all going away. What we're doing is, I'm right. I'm definitely right. Everything is local somewhere. It has to start local somewhere. So this is bringing back the local paper. It's putting the power of the press in the hands of the people. So the reason I'm doing the equity crowdfund is because it allows everybody to be able to participate. Before the show, I was showing you what they can invest and how it's regulated. Remember?
Regulated by
Okay.
the federal government so people don't get ripped off.
So people don't get ripped off. So I had to go through background checks. My partner had to go through background checks. We had to do audits. This took 7 months to put together and a lot of money. Once it's done because in order for you to get a brokerage firm to stand behind you, because remember, they're liable if there's some kind of fraud. So in order to do this, you have to go through, jump through hoops. Once you're in, you're in. So when you do an equity crowdfund, there's only three. There's a million. There's a 5 million and there's a 75 million. So if you need 2 million, you do the 5 million. If you're not sure, the one and the five are identical in price. The same exact thing you have to do. They don't cost 5 cents more. Well, when we set it up, I said, well, let's do the five. And once we figure out what we're going to be doing, we can always stop it at any number. Like it, once you figure out the model and say, okay, we've got it dialed in, we know what it's going to take. We could then stop that offering and then go for a higher offering. So even though we have a $5 million offering, we're selling 25% of the company for 5 million. I'm not going to do it. It's going to end up being between 1 million and 1.5 million. We'll stop this one and we'll do a second one at
Well,
a higher
before we
number.
close, I want to mention this because we're going to run out of time here because I know you got a commitment and I got a commitment coming up. But the one thing I would say to people is this, is that there are limits on what the federal government will let you invest in. And you do get some back end. I'm going to have Sam back on to talk about the money model, how this actually works in detail. And hopefully, we can show you some behind the scenes stuff without revealing personal identities. But it's really well regulated. But Sam, I'm going to say this. You're going to have profound social and economic implications in this country. Because I think 3, 4, 5 years from now, okay, when people wake up to uncensored news, the Federal Reserve, gone. It'll change banking. The IRS, gone when they understand really how the tariff situation works. I mean, right now, so many people are camouflaged from the truth by the BS they're fed by the purveyors of news that you're going to undo all that. And all these things that keep us in chains are going to be gone. But I also think with that, there's going to be tremendous resistance.
There's going to be some, but there's always going to be resistance, David. And by the way, I'm right on board with you. I think the same thing. I think they're going to eliminate income taxes. I think the Federal Reserve is going to be gone. I think Trump's going to bring us to some kind of stable currency and get rid of them. But since the legacy media is going to be gone anyway, there's nobody that can resist me. And the reason I say that is because I'm filling a void. Okay.
There's no
These
question.
people, okay, these people want to go to work. All I'm doing is saying, here's the new model. Come play on my field. And that's it. And then this is where they're going to make their money. So what I do is inevitable. If I shut down, Dave, you know as well as I do, somebody would create
Somebody
my
else is going
product.
to pick it up. I totally agree with you. And you're going to have imitators chasing you too. That is inevitable. Sam, we're flat out of time, so I want to leave people with this. Go to yournews.com, just like it sounds, yournews.com, and scroll to the bottom, and it says be a citizen reporter, and you can also invest. And there's an investment tab, and they explain everything to you right there. And we're going to do a follow-up show where we really highlight how to personally get involved in that. But right now, yournews.com, there's great news stories up there, not because I'm writing for them, but there are really good news stories. And you get it down to the zip code. And then, like I said, if you want to become a reporter at the most local level, report on your bridge game in your home if you want to, you can do that. There's a tab for that. And then there's a tab to become an investor. And there is back-end potential to make money on this as well on both sides. Sam, we're flat up against it. I got to run, but I
Can I
want to
add
thank
one
you for
thing?
coming on. We're going to do this again and talk about the money model of this.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I
Thanks,
appreciate it,
Sam.
Dave. Thank you.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share far and wide. Algorithms not kind to us, and we need to reach a lot of people. And I just feel compelled right now that we got to wake as many people up as possible because I think we're going to need the sounds of marching feet going forward, millions of marching feet. And do you feel it in your gut? If you do, so do I. And this is what motivates me every day to share stories. And this story I'm going to share with you today bothers me to my core because I see Trump wasting time on something I don't think he can win. And I'm going to explain it. The pardons that Joe Biden issued after he promised not to pardon his son, he lied. After he said no one's above the law, he lied. He pardoned the J6 people. He's pardoned all family members that, at least in congressional testimony, it appears that they were involved in China financially in violation of the Hatch Act. I could go on and on and on, and yet they're all pardoned. They received preemptive pardons. Now, there's a question whether or not that's legal. We're going to get into that, and then we're going to talk about why I don't think this is going to go anywhere. Do I wish it would? Yeah, part of me really does wish it would, but I'm not sure it will. Hey, we are brought to you by a great set of products here. Exhibit A, the NanoSoma spray. And you hear me talk about it a lot. When I had nothing working for me and I had strep lung linings at RSV, I had to boost my immune system. Nothing else worked until I did this, thanks to Scotty Sachs. Exhibit B. And I was back in the gym about 3 weeks after I started taking the spray, at least meaningfully in the gym. I went to the gym, went through a few things, but it didn't amount to a whole lot. But this saved me when I started to working legs hard, my knees going like this, like I'd always had. And Scotty said, Dave, just rub the gel on. It's good for a lot of things, but one is joint inflammation. Sure enough. And I went and looked at the directions. It said it produces pluripotent stem cells. And I go, whoa, and I've experienced it today. I have no limitations in my workouts other than what my muscles will or will not do, but my joints are not holding me back. And then finally, a little vanity, erasing fine lines, wrinkles, dealing with cuts and abrasions. The Nanosoma skin cream, fantastic. Together, they're the three pack, and you can get 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I want to see President Trump be on point and not waste time on arguments he's not going to win. And there's two arguments that kind of stand simultaneously, even though I don't think they're directly connected. One is, as I said, the preemptive pardons, and two is eliminating birthright citizenship with someone who's born to people who've come into the country illegally. Let's deal with the first one. A question whether or not Biden had the right to do these preemptive pardons is the concept of preemptive. I have to punt on this because, first, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but I'm not the legal scholar to give an opinion on this because, first of all, I don't think it's ever been in court. I couldn't find any evidence of it. And some court's going to decide this. And yeah, I think it's probably going to be legal, as much as I don't like it. But I will say this: what we're talking about are federal crimes. It doesn't stop your attorney general or your district attorney from filing charges on the people that receive pardons if what they did affects that jurisdiction. The next item on this issue of pardons is the use of the auto pen. Well, I got bad news here too. There's no question Joe Biden used the auto pen. No question whatsoever. However, there is legal precedent for its use. Obama did it, and he did it with legislation, signing it into law. Lyndon Johnson did it. John Kennedy did it. George Bush, they all have done it. They're not going to be able to invalidate these pardons based on this. Plain and simple. And I don't want to see the president wasting his resources on a battle I don't think he can win. There's too many catchable fish and low-hanging fruit that he can go after. Okay, the second issue that I brought up is very simply, can he do what he says he's going to do and strip birthright citizenship through executive order? The answer is no. I read the Constitution. If you're natural born, in other words, you're born, okay, and you're in the confines of this country, you're a citizen. Doesn't matter what your parents say. And that's my interpretation of the Constitution. Now, you may not like how this has been twisted and moved around and angled to produce unintended consequences. And I would agree with your concerns if you have them. But I don't see the Supreme Court upholding what Trump did on an executive order. I think he's going to lose on both issues. Now, step aside, he's been brilliant in other areas. Brilliant. Well, first of all, he's at least temporarily stopped the Indian-Pakistan war. He has negated Iran to a large extent. Russia and Ukraine are now holding peace talks at Trump's insistence. These are all brilliant things. And then you add in DOGE, and okay, you get the idea. Deporting criminal illegal aliens who I think we either put them in prison or you deport them. And if the judges get in the way, you put them in prison. They want due process, give them due process for the second time. He's been brilliant. But I don't think he can win these two battles. And I'd like to see him focus on what he can win because his resources are limited. He doesn't have, unfathomable resources and he can keep doing as much as he want when he. No, there are limits to what he can do. So that's my interpretation here from the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you go. Click the newsletter link, put your email on. And now you won't have to come back here several times a day. You'll get an encapsulation of everything that we do in the previous 24 hours. Over 50,000 people are doing it, and it's free. We'll see you back here next time.